What is the state of cancer care in Canada? Does it depend upon where you live? Are certain populations more or less likely to survive a diagnosis of cancer? The 2007 report card on cancer in Canada by the Cancer Advocacy Coalition of Canada, the CACC, was released on February the 12th, 2007, and shows gross discrepancies in access to the diagnostic tools and best treatment for cancer depending upon where a person lives in the country. Dr. William Aronick, past chair of the Cancer Advocacy Coalition of Canada and former director of cancer centers in Canada and the United States, has said, quote, "Tell me your postal code, and I will tell you your chances of surviving cancer." Dr. William Aronick practices medical oncology with a specific interest in breast cancer, is consistently listed as one of, quote, "the best doctors in America," unquote, and has recently been named as one of the outstanding scientists of the 21st century. And with that, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Dr. Dworkin.
And this is now, I think, the third time that we're talking on the annual report card. And just to revise things for our listeners about what the CACC stands for and what its mission statement is.
It's the Cancer Advocacy Coalition of Canada. It's a not-for-profit, not-charitable organization dedicated to advocating for the best possible care for Canadians and the optimum cancer control measures across the full spectrum of cancer control.
How many years has this report been produced?
8 or 9. This is the 10th edition. In the early years, we had 2 per year. This is the 10th edition.
Now, people are going to ask where you got the sources for this data, because this is a broad-based report and a lot of statistics involved in it. Where was all the data gleaned from?
Well, we did several articles. We did one on cancer research funding, and for that we derived the data directly from the research granting agencies, Canadian Cancer Society, the National Cancer Institute of Canada, Canadian Institutes for Health Research, the Prostate Group, the Canadian Breast Cancer Research Alliance, Terry Fox Fund, and so on. For the cancer in young adults, we got the data from the literature. For the PET scanning, we got the data from a survey being conducted by a group in Alberta. For the supportive care, we got the data from surveying all the major cancer centers in 8 of the provinces in Canada. And for the access to cancer drugs, we got it from a combination of databases from the Brogan Incorporation, which monitors insurance and government payout for oral drugs, plus in every province, a reading on a personal level from the oncologists and the pharmacists and the hospitals providing cancer drugs.
Now, do the areas that the report focus upon, are they the same every year as a basis of comparison, or do these change with time?
Both. We've looked at cancer research funding 3 years ago when we noticed that 70% of it went for basic laboratory research with very little application to the clinical problems that we face, including prevention. And we repeated it this year to see if there had been any change. The clinical research article calling for a paradigm shift in the way we do clinical research, it was an op-ed piece crafted by one of the top investigators in cancer, breast cancer in the world, actually, Dr. Joseph Ragaz, a member of our board. The PET scanning article is just a repeat of the Ontario situation from last year. The access to cancer drugs is the third edition, showing that things are getting actually worse in terms of our access to cancer drugs. But the supportive care article and the who pays for cancer drugs are new.
Now, I'd like to review some of the main areas of the report and ask you how they impact on the delivery of care, because this is a broad-based report. It does cover many areas, and yet they all link together and form a web of information that applies to the overall care a person would receive, not only medications, but care in hospitals, availabilitations, the various government policies that approve or deny the access to these medications. So I wanted to start with cancer drug costs and where the funding comes from, how that is shifting, and what this report has found.
Well, you're absolutely correct. We did a broad-based approach this year, and we found that cancer management in Canada is inconsistent, ineffective, and unfair to Canadians. With specific reference to the drug payments and drug costs article, it matched all of those three criticisms. The oral drugs that we looked at, the new ones, the cost of the new ones, the oral take-home drugs, were funded primarily by the cancer agency budgets in the western provinces. So the insurance companies had very little to pick up, and most people who needed them got them. However, if you went east of the Manitoba border, the reliance upon private insurance to pay for the drugs shot up markedly, to the extent that there was sometimes a tenfold difference between one province in the east versus a western province, versus Manitoba, where we had the best data. And in fact, although the cost of these drugs is rising rapidly at the rate of a doubling time of 2 years, 35% per year, in Ontario and Quebec, it's rising in both the private and the public pay zones. When we went to the Atlantic provinces, we found, in fact, unlike Ontario and Quebec, the insurers were picking up a larger portion of the tab than were the governments. So that if you don't have insurance and you live in Atlantic Canada, you really do are bereft of the drugs. If you're in Ontario and Quebec, if you have insurance, you get the drugs. If you don't, the government may pick them up. But if you live in Western Canada, you get the drugs.
Well, I guess this then falls upon now access, because you've mentioned, again, if you're mentioning private and public, then obviously it has to revolve around whether the government is actually providing the funding for some patients and they don't have to foot the bill themselves or have a private organization or insurance company cover it. So how did access vary across the country?
Well, you pinned it exactly the same way. There's a west-east gradient in access to drugs. In British Columbia, of the 24 new drugs we studied last year, 22 of them are provided by the cancer agency. If you as you go further east, to east of the Manitoba border, access to drugs drops sharply. For example, in Ontario, I think only 4 or 5 of the drugs are provided by the provincial system, and the rest of them are subject to a wide variety of hoops that you have to jump through in order to get them. So that, for example, the impediments, the hoops that you have to jump through, reach the number of 35 different blocks to the access to the drugs in Ontario, which is the highest in the country. And the cost of drug access, the cost of drug data corroborates that. In the West, if your cancer mortality is lower, these life-saving, expensive, but life-saving drugs are much more readily accessible than in the East, where the mortality from cancer is higher.
So I guess the question that follows from this would be why the discrepancy? What is it in the West that allows the medications to be covered and not so in the East? One would expect the science to be the same across the country.
Absolutely. Barry, I practiced in Manitoba for 10 years as the head of medical oncology there in the cancer center. And I can tell you there's a different attitude out West. And there's a different leadership. The cancer center directors there are very carefully by academic standards. They delineate the credentials of the person they want, the skill sets, and so on. Then they set a wide search for them. That's not the process that's followed in the eastern provinces that have cancer agencies. The ones that don't, of course, are even worse off than the ones that do. So I think it's a question of leadership and attitude. I don't think it's necessarily simply the amount of money that each province has in hand. Ontario, for example, is the second richest province in the country, but has one of the worst records for access to drugs. Now, and Ontario has always been in that position. It's a very, the word stingy was used. I wouldn't say that. That's pejorative. I think it's very much more conservative, and I think it's a combination of leadership and history. Beyond that, even though I practiced in Ontario and directed cancer centers in this country, in Ontario for 13 years, it still is a mystery to me why Ontario is so far behind the rest of the country. But the people of Ontario should know that.
We're in conversation with Dr. William Heronick, past chair of the Cancer Advocacy Coalition of Canada and former director of cancer centers in Canada and the United States. When we come back, I'd like to get into some of the other areas of the report, also dealing with people who may have less common cancers for which there are treatments and how they are treated across the country, how research and development trends are moving along in Canada, and as well young adults, which are an area that tends to be overlooked, that young people, children, adolescents do get cancer. And yet the focus tends to be a lot on cancers in the older individuals. So how are they affected? And what's been the trend for cancer care in Canada? I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call. We'll be back with Dr. William Heronick in just one moment.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.